It is so good to be here another Lord's Day. Never take any Lord's Day for granted or any opportunity of meeting in peace. We must always be ready for the peril that besets us. We have been amply warned in God's word that perilous times will come. And who knows how close those perilous times are. So I say again, thank God. Thank God we are here in peace. Are you happy? Be happy in Jesus. And in that happiness, be grateful and active. Are you witnessing for Him? Are you serving Him? Let us all be reminded. Today, the topic for our meditation is the providence of God. What is the providence of God? What do you understand by providence of God? You know, this word is not in the Bible. So what are we talking about? Providence is a good old-fashioned word, commonly used in the days when people were more godly and always referring to the Lord who provides. So that gives you a clue of what providence means. God is in charge. And He not only is in charge, but He looks down. The centuries of time, from the beginning to the end. And when is the beginning? The beginning is from before the foundation of the world. Before the world was created, God purposed, planned, and decreed and everything in order so that when the world was created, mankind was created, and all the creatures, God already had a plan by His foresight. So when we talk of providence, there is a futuristic element to that word. God provides from before the foundation of the world for all the things that will ever happen to every creature. God has thought it out already. Amazing. You say, incredible. So it is. To our human understanding, how can it be? But let us humble ourselves and pray for wisdom. Pray for understanding. Our God is God because He is different from us. We cannot size up God with our own puny little minds. And some people try to. They cut God down to size, like themselves, and they think they are as smart as God or even smarter. Providence of God talks of God's eternal plan. God's foresight. What foresight do you have? We have very able rulers in our country who try and tell us something of the future. And we hear headline news, things will be good. Singapore has never had it so good. And things are likely to be good for what? Maybe for the next year. Maybe if you're braver, 5 years, maybe 10 years. Foresight. Do you have that foresight? Our God has a foresight that spans time. From before the foundation of the world until the end of history, until the end of the world, God knows everything, plans everything. And He tells us so many things, of course, not all. So it talks of God's foresight and His benevolent care. What is benevolent care? He is a father and He pities us like as a father and He cares for all of us. So the providence of God is God's caring plan, His loving kindness to us. So we have the word called providential, coming from the word providence. I read that somebody said, at the 9/11 incident of 2002. I am so lucky, he says. I missed the train. And when I arrived at the Twin Towers of the World Trade Center, they were already bombed, and I was so happy. Providential. I missed the train. Dear friends, that is one of the uses of the word providential. But some people say, well, good luck. Dear friends, we in the Lord Jesus Christ are instructed, when you are part of the family, putting your trust in Jesus Christ is not just for salvation alone and nothing more, but it is to bring you into the family of God. And I say a word again to those who are still waiting, watching. Waiting for what? Please understand, you are not assured even of what will happen tomorrow. So do not delay to come to the Lord and say, Lord, I need you. So, benevolent care of God is what God has for us all. Please forget about chance and fate. That is the world. Ignorant people of the world think, well, you're fated not to die. You're all right. God's benevolent care, ordering events. We have spoken a couple of weeks ago on the decretive will of God. God orders. When God orders, nothing and no one can change it. And God does not change His mind. God does not have a contingency plan. Say, well, this plan doesn't work. Plan A, not so good. Now we go to plan B. God has only one plan, an eternal plan, an absolutely perfect and eternal plan that He puts into motion. And this providence of God is to provide for our future. We have a future to look forward to. Dear friends, when you come to the Lord Jesus Christ, the future is assured. You know, no matter what happens, whether you are better or worse, it's like a wonderful marriage. For better, for worse, for rich, for poorer, in sickness and in health. When you come to Jesus Christ, the providence of God takes you in and you are cared for. Not that everything will go smooth on earth, that materially, physically, and socially, everything will run smooth. We are not talking of those things. We are talking of the ultimate. When you have left this sojourn on earth, where do you go? What do you have? In Jesus Christ, that providence of God ensures that you are provided for the future. Amazing. And all that comes to us by grace through faith in Jesus Christ our Lord, this is all encompassed in the providence of God. This is God's plan. One plan. Perfect plan. It does not need a halfway amendment. There is no reserve plan, only one plan, eternal plan. Are you part of God's plan? This providence of God is a plan that God designed, thought out with His almighty wisdom, unsearchable wisdom, together God, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, worked out this plan for you from before the foundation of the world. Again, I say, it's amazing, isn't it? Please understand, we cannot know these things except the Word of God tells us. And you cannot understand this unless the Holy Spirit confirms it in your heart. For the Holy Spirit is the Spirit of wisdom. He is the instructor, teacher. And how can you have that instruction? I ask you, how can you have it? Pray to the Father. Please, every day let us pray earnestly, seriously. How can you advance in the knowledge of God to know that I have a God who is so wonderful, who knows everything, every detail of the lives of everybody before you were born. It's all known to God. And now we are here, an adult, member of the Society of Singapore. Does God know you? Of course. From before you were born, He knew everything, and He designed everything, and He prepared everything for you. That in the time to come, as things unfold, one day you heard the gospel and God called you. Because He had chosen you. We've gone through all this before. So from before creation, by divine wisdom and irresistible power, no one can resist His power. When God calls you, He cannot refuse. It is a wonderful call, a wonderful power, God. And why does He do all these things? What are we talking about, providence of God? What are we talking about, God is so kind, doing so many things, sending His Son for you, and to lead you to a church where the gospel is preached, and where brothers and sisters care one for another. What for? What are we doing all these things for? Answer is at the bottom line, for His glory. Because one day we will all be gathered together with Jesus, and there praise Him for everlasting days, unceasingly, never stop, never get tired, always praising Him, because God has saved us out of perishing earth to this everlasting home, and there we enjoy God in eternity, free from all of earth's troubles and woes that beset us here. And I warn you again, perilous times are coming. Don't go to sleep and say, now we're going to enjoy all the things that government is preparing for us. Singapore is going to boom and boom. I say, no, not at all. Not bloom, but gloom. It's coming. So be careful. So we have touched on this when we talk of the decretive will of God. God decrees, God orders, these things will be as God has said. They cannot change because God said so. While we have spoken of God's providence, the relevance is to you and me. If it is about the world, about other people, then you say, what are you talking about all this for? I'm interested in myself, right? Is that good? Of course. You must be interested in yourself, in my future. What is going to happen to me at the end of my life? Or if God should call me now, what happens? God has a plan for you, dear friends, when you come into the family of Jesus Christ. And the greatest act of providence, we are talking about providence. What is God's plan in His providence? The greatest plan in His plan of providence is that God so loved the world. John 3:16, that verse we all understand. God so loved the world and includes you, a member of the society or the community on earth. He so loved you that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him should not perish. This is gospel, and this is one gospel. It does not change. It has not changed except the apostate church. The church that has fallen away today says, God sent His Son is all right, but there are many other saviors, all good. All of them will save you to heaven one day. Now, beware of those things. We are not interested in those things as such to investigate too much, but God has a plan. And this is the greatest act of providence. And once you come into that plan, then Romans 8:28 applies to you. We learned this by heart last week. You like to say with me again? For we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose. According to His purpose. God has a purpose for you in His providence. At the right time, in the fullness of time,
God sent his son, born of a woman, Virgin Mary, to take his place among the community of men, to be a man like us, yet without sin, and to go for us, to live for us, to die for us, to rise for us. Now that is part of God's plan for you and for me. Now I have a few verses to help us along. Will you please turn with me to Isaiah chapter 46. For the word of God illumines us, illumines our darkened understanding. In case you're wondering, really? Are you sure you're telling us the right thing? That God knows everything from before the foundation of the world and ordered everything for everybody here? Can that be so? Isaiah chapter 46. Please turn to that. That's shortly after Psalms, then Proverbs, then Ecclesiastes, Song of Solomon, then Isaiah. All right, here. Chapter 46, verse 9. All right. Remember the former things of old. I am God, says God. There is none else. There is only one God. And thank God you are here to receive the salvation of God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Continue, please. For I am God and there is none else. I am God. There is none like me. There is only one true, living, and almighty God. Do you know him? Understand his power and his knowledge. Verse 10, declaring the end from the beginning, from ancient times, the things that are not yet done, saying, my counsel shall stand and I will do all my pleasure. Isn't that great? In case you have any doubt, I say, you pray. Lord, Holy Spirit, please confirm the truth in my heart that I may steadfastly trust and believe in God, my Savior, that he knows all about me. He knows all, everything about everybody ever since the world was founded till now and until the end of time, until we go into eternity. But the main thing is, you know him. Thank God you know him. That he knows you. And he is with you as a father. Now, the last part of verse 11. The last part. I have spoken. I will also bring it to pass. In case you're doubting, he reminds you again. I'm not just a wise man like your professor in the university. So wise. He knows everything about everything. I said, no. He knows. He doesn't know everything about everything. You know what a professor is? He knows more and more about less and less. Yeah, that's all he knows. And his knowledge is limited because what he knows today, tomorrow is out of date and keeps on changing. So what do people know? They know very little. God says, I know all and I don't change. And my knowledge does not increase, does not reduce. It's the same because it is almighty, immense and imponderable. Beyond searching, you cannot understand God except to read his word and pray that you understand. I have purposed it. I also will do it. For example, the prophecies of the end time. We read it and then we wonder. There are some people who set dates and then they get disappointed. So there are some people who say, cannot be. All these prophetic things, they cannot come to pass. What do you think? God assures us, I've said it, I will do it. It's only a matter of time. You be patient. Now, we have not much time left. Let me inform you this, that the providence of God, and we heard just now, someone says, it was providential. I missed that train and I didn't go into the World Trade Center tower and get bombed out and lose my life. Providential. So the idea may be in your mind that providence is always for good. Must be pleasant, must be happy,
And I enjoy God's providence, yes or no? Well, Romans 8:28, all things work together for good. It does not exclude that God's dealings with us can also be dark, can be sad, can be, in worldly terms, unfortunate, against my wishes. There is a religion today which teaches that Christianity, once you believe in Jesus Christ, all things will go smooth, healthy, wealthy, everything will be fine and happy all the time. And some even say laughing all the time. I said there is nothing further from the truth. It is nowhere ever promised in Scripture that when you become a Christian, everything will flow fine. What did Jesus say? You turn to what Jesus said. John's Gospel, chapter 16. Then you will understand the truth. And what we're here to do is to find out the truth. The truth about providence. Now you believe in Jesus Christ. Is there any verse in the Bible which says, now you as a son of God and a child of God, everything will go smooth and happy? You find me that verse, but I find you a verse here. John 16:33. Jesus says to us, John's Gospel, chapter 16, verse 33. Jesus says to you, these things I have spoken to you, that in me, when you become a Christian, you might have peace. God, Jesus Christ, promises you peace. What is peace? Tranquility, satisfaction, no complaints, because God is with you, and God has assured you that even though you are in great sadness because of some event, it is for your good. Romans 8:28 says so. And it is peace, because when you've reasoned out and puzzled through your sadness, you say, God was good. There is peace. I'm at peace with God. He's at peace with me. I've not offended Him. I've not sinned against Him. John 16:33. These things have I spoken to you, that in me you might have peace. In the world you shall have what? Tribulation. We all are living in a world of great trouble, uncertainty, turmoil, a world that never gives you that peace that you want. And Jesus says, it will be tribulation. So to all who are wondering, shall I become a Christian? Shall I get baptized? Will this church promise me that I'll always be healthy, wealthy, happy? Then I'll become a Christian. I said, no, friends, we never promise you that. We promise you that when you become a Christian, you have God as your Father. And no matter what happens, He loves you. And He gives you peace. And He provides for you. Providence of God. He provides what you need. Jesus says, look at the sparrows. Those poor birds. Who wants sparrows? Nobody wants sparrows. And yet, God, your Father, feeds the sparrows. And if He feeds the sparrows and will not even allow a sparrow to fall on the ground, how much you? That is providence. Understand that when you become a child of God, God looks after you in every detail. Only thing is we doubt, we fear, and we panic, we search, we look for other helps, other sources. Don't you ever go to a fortune teller, dear friends. There are some people who are so foolish, they actually go to the BOMOs. Christians, they go to Pulau Batam because they had heard of a very effective, famous BOMO, and they look for such things. Never you do, dear friends. God's providence is enough, and He looks after you. Even in the midst of tribulation, you come to Him, you will find peace, because this is the promise. I have overcome the world, and with Jesus as your friend and Savior, you too will overcome the world. The problem is the world. The world in which we live is not our friend. It is our enemy. All the time is putting in blocks to us, spokes in the wheel, temptations, traps and pitfalls everywhere. The world is there to stumble you. It's not your friend. But Jesus says, I have overcome the world. You trust in me, you too will overcome the world. Now, please, I want to conclude with this word to warn anyone who gets the idea after today's sermon says, hip, hip, hooray. Now I have Jesus and his providence, all will be well. I said, no, dear friends, it doesn't say so. Yes, ultimately, God will save us to the end and finally in heaven and all the good things. But on earth, there will be tribulation. This is the promise, and you must be ready for it. Take the case of the man called Job. Ever heard of the name? Right. When I lost my mother in 1954, is that right? Sorry, 1946. Again, this head is not working. 1946. I was 20. And I thought my world had come to an end. It's so sad. Yes. But I say, dear friends, losing a mother is nothing like what Job lost. What did Job lose? 10 children, 7 sons, 3 daughters in one day. And how do you survive that kind of trauma? And not only that, all his possessions gone in one day. What struck him? Of course, he didn't know. It was Satan working against him with God's permission. What did he do at the end of the day when he lost everything? Has anyone here lost everything? Lost your loved ones? And even the love of your wife? She even despised him. What has Job got to say about God's providence? Now, here's an excellent example for all of us. You learn from Job. Job says, naked came I into this world, and naked I will go one day. God has done all this to me. He says, blessed be the name of the Lord. I know my God does all things well. His providence is still firm as a rock. I know he will do nothing bad to me. So blessed be the name of the Lord. Can you say that? Now that is the dark side of providence. Job could face that future. Very soon even his health was gone. And all he could do was sit on an ash heap with 3 of his friends coming supposedly to comfort him. And in the process became very critical of him and tormented him with all their attacks. What do you do? Blessed be the name of the Lord. My Savior is still the same. I say, can you have that kind of confidence, that kind of faith to say, I will follow Jesus regardless of what happens? Ah, that is faith in the God of providence, to know that He is on my side, always caring for me. Now, one verse before we close, from that man called Peter, famous Peter, 1 Peter chapter 4. We all remember Peter, don't you? What do you remember Peter for? Every Sunday school child will know. He denied Jesus 3 times. Don't you know? Of course. And who wants that man after that? If he's your friend, you say, I'm not friends with him anymore. But Jesus is different. Jesus knows Peter. He knows that he, weak in the flesh, one day he can be made useful. Maybe like you. Someone here may say, I'm like Peter. I denied the Lord. I dare not witness for the Lord at any time. I say, but God knows you. He has use for you. As he has used for Peter. So Peter wrote, 1 Peter chapter 4, the converted Peter, the transformed Peter, the faithful Peter. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 12. All right, make sure you get it, please. And if you have a red pen, again, please underline it, because you're going to make your Bible very effective and very precious. If you have no ball pen,
No red ball pen, go and get one tomorrow. 1 John 4:12. Listen now. This is God's word speaking to you. Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened to you. The fiery trial can be many things. Can be a personal blow in your family. Can be financial. Can be social. Can be an accident that suddenly gets you crippled and then you go to hospital. It can even be death in your family. All these are fiery trials that shake your faith. That's coming. This is the warning. Now, what do you do? Verse 13. But rejoice. Rejoice because I have the Lord Jesus and I have His salvation and I have my future assured. And Jesus says, in this world you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer because I have overcome the world. These things come because we are in the world, because we are in this sin-filled, decadent and destructive world full of temptations. We are here and these things will come, but rejoice. Inasmuch as ye are partakers of Christ's sufferings, if we suffer because of our faith, if we suffer because we follow Jesus without wavering, without denying Him at all, and follow Him steadfastly, you suffer with Him, there is blessing to you. So says the Word of God. When His glory shall be revealed, you may be glad with exceeding joy. Wonderful. Is anyone here going through some kind of terrible event, terrible happening? I've told you the incident of my clinic nursing sister. I retired, she retired. She was the best helper in my clinic. I witnessed to her many, many times, and she always says, yes, I will believe one day. Now the one day has come when the husband was stricken with cancer of the incurable type, pancreas cancer. Now, every time when I visit her or call upon her, you know, telephone, thank God I'm a Christian. Because of the cancer of my husband, salvation has come. He believes, she believes. Every day they read the Word of God and sing the songs of heaven. So when we suffer because we follow Jesus Christ, there is great reward coming along the way, because this is the providence of God. God will never forsake you, but follow Him faithfully, even though you have cancer. So I called her yesterday and only crying on the phone. I know Jesus loves me, but I just asked Him for a few more years to look after my husband. I say, okay, you look for a few more years. End of the few more years, you ask for some more few more years. True? You never give up. That kind of feeling is natural, it's normal. I love my wife and I want to be with her. So do you. All of us have the same feeling. But she has got cancer and he is going to die. She knows it. She cannot stop but cry and cry and cry. I say, when the glory of God shall be revealed, when Jesus comes. So I encourage her. I said, He may die. He will die. But you have the assurance there is a day when you will reunite with Him. Of course, not no more as husband and wife, but you will recognize that you are there. I am here. And we both thank God that because of cancer, we both come to believe and trust in the Lord, the giver of life, the conqueror of cancer, of every cause of death. He has conquered when He went to the grave and rose again. He conquered everything that causes death. You trust in Him. The providence of God is amazing. He looks after you, all your needs. He knows your tears.
the sadness that will come to you because of the death of the loved one, it is going to come. There is no way you can stop it or avoid it because we are in this sin-filled world. But God's providence says, keep on believing. Keep on trusting. Until the day dawn, then you know it was worth it. God's providence provides for you and me a way of salvation. Jesus Christ, who died, rose from the dead, is your Savior. And He says, in me ye shall have life everlasting. Let us trust, therefore. Let us pray. If there is someone who is afraid of death, pray this prayer. Our Heavenly Father, in the flesh, we all shun the thought of death, and all of us shrink from it. But we know that in Jesus Christ, we have the assurance that He is the resurrection and the life. In Him, we have victory over death. So, Lord, bless all Your people here, for some are afflicted because of loved ones who are stricken with some disease, the peril and the fear of death. O Lord, take it away from us. Fill us with the comfort of God, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. To know that in Jesus Christ we have an everlasting hope. And so may Thou uplift Your people here, that none here will fall into despair and sadness unconsoled. But all of us in Jesus Christ, who know the providence of God, assures us we have an everlasting hope in Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.